Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may please take your seats. And what a great and wonderful day it is to be in the house of the Lord, amen.
Amen.
And for everyone in the sanctuary, we were having a little issue with my mic before. Does my voice sound okay? Does it sound muddled or is it okay? We're good. Okay, then much better. Thank you so much for that, GB. Bless your heart so much. And what a great day it is. I come to you this morning as I come each and every week saying grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come here this morning recognizing that as we come to the house of the Lord, that everything is not always peaches and cream. Amen? And we all go through difficulties in life. And I know that right this moment, I don't know every person here, but I do know that there are some of you that are going through terribly difficult times right now. You may be going through an illness. You may be going through a sickness. You may be recently grieving from someone that has gone to be with the Lord. I know that this very moment that Miss Sunita, our dear, sweet Miss Sunita, Brother Divine, Pastor Divine's wife, is at home, and she's feeling a little frail this week from her chemo treatments this week. But she is here in our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
And what a great day this is that we are able to be here. We come today for what our nation calls Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all here that are mothers. Sometimes when we do that, we focus primarily on the mothers and Mother's Day. And today's message is going to be all about the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman who is the godly woman. Talking about moms, though, that I have noticed that there are distinct differences in moms. Amen?
Amen.
You know, there's all types of moms. And if I could get someone to please close that back door back there. There are all types of moms, but I've noticed that moms that have only daughters are used to dealing with drama. They have different issues to address. Amen, moms?
Amen.
And moms that have only sons deal with specific issues with sons, because sons are kind of binary in nature. They are one or zero, and mothers of sons learn very unique things. For instance, mothers of sons learn how to get two Twinkies out of the toaster. Things like that moms learn. Moms learn that sons discover that snakes cannot go through a dry cycle in the dryer. You know, it's been said, and I read this somewhere, I'm not sure where, but it said that motherhood is the ultimate reward and the ultimate sacrifice, all in the same breath. And so we're here today to speak of moms. You know, moms have special gifts. They rarely refuse to take their kids to the emergency room. Mom understands that you're not quite ready to quit sucking your thumb. Mom doesn't think it's cheating if she helps you write your school paper. Mom understands that you can't give up your blankie just yet. When you've moved away, Mom will send you pictures of her vacation Bible school friends that are still at home with their mom. Mom went without a new winter coat for 11 years to make sure that you had yours. Mom cares, really cares, if you wipe your feet before you come in the house. And Mom will hug and kiss you literally any place, anytime, anywhere, regardless of who is watching and whether you care or not. And all the moms say, amen. And so today I also wish a happy Mother's Day to my mother, Miss Alice, who is in Macomb, Mississippi, and she's still preparing to come out here as we speak. They are trying to get things ready so her and my brother Gary can move to South Florida. But we're going to talk about the virtuous woman today. And the things that not only that we can love about the virtuous woman, but the things that God loves about the virtuous woman. And that's what we care about, amen? We care about what the Lord thinks is going on in our lives and what the Lord thinks about what the virtuous woman is doing. Here at Living Hope Baptist Church, we preach and we teach the Word of God. And we don't want any opinions of Pastor Larry Brister. This is not about Brister. It's all about Bible. Amen?
Amen.
And so therefore, when we preach these things, when I give these precepts from God's precious word, it is not simply my words, but hopefully I am with prayer in my heart addressing God's word. You know, love of the virtuous woman, the moral woman, is something special. And let me just address that for a second before we begin. I know you see that we have 8 points today. And you're thinking, oh my goodness. But there's going to be just a little bit of talking between the points. But you're going to love these points because these points are actually an 8-part series that we're going to condense down into the outline form this morning. You see, if you love with somebody, you talk with them. You listen to them. But you also talk in a godly way about them. I don't have to discipline myself to love my wife. The Lord just simply put it in my heart. I love her. And you guys that know me for a long time know that I am embarrassing about this, especially to her. It doesn't matter to me. Amen? And because I love her, I talk with her, and I talk about her, much to her consternation, if you were to glance over there right now. My wife is a godly, humble woman. And today will be somewhat about Mother's Day, but is mostly about the godly, virtuous woman, which can be the virtuous mother, the virtuous wife, or simply a virtuous woman. If you have the Word of God, and could you please open to Proverbs chapter 31. And by the way, if you have the Word of God, your Bibles, if you have them in your hand, whether in print or digital format, please hold them over your head. Amen. Hallelujah. We come here to declare the truth of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10. If you have a paper Bible and if you're there now, please say amen. Amen. Reading from the Word of God, we will have only this verse, the first verse on the screen, but we're going to quickly cover the rest of this chapter today. Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? And all the men said, amen. Way to go, guys. You see, this passage can be difficult because it is about an ideal. Ladies, when I'm talking here today about the things in this passage, don't get all bummed out if you fall short in a particular area. Now, I know that could never happen with the ladies from Living Hope Church. But if there's one area you could use a little work on, the passage today are about the ideal of what God speaks about. And we should all strive for the ideal. Amen? Now, I don't think anyone here can reach an ideal, whether we are male or female, but we should be grateful because God has set the standard. You don't need to meet my standards. You need to meet the standards of the Lord. You don't need to meet Living Hope Baptist Church's standards. You need to meet the standards of the Lord. You don't need to meet your husband's standards to be a virtuous wife. Simply meet the standards of Almighty God. Amen? And if you do that, you'll be in good keeping with the Lord. I believe these verses are a tribute to every virtuous woman or every virtuous mother here today or watching on the internet or watching a DVD or listening to our podcast. And with that in mind, let's just take this passage apart verse by verse. I have 8 points today. The first point being, first, the virtuous woman, we look at her great worth. Her great worth. Jot that down in your notes, if you would, please. Reading verses 10 through 12 at this time, while the screen stays right there for a moment. Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of grain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Oh, man, isn't that good? Isn't that a good word? You see, guys, if you are happily married to a godly, virtuous woman, I think you get it on this point. I think right out the gate, you get it when you read those words. You see, here's the embarrassing point, because I personally do not possess the vocabulary to express how much I value my precious wife. The words fail me. My heart becomes too full. And her worth is not based upon what the world looks at. Like, my wife is not the perfect wife. I'm going to break that to you guys. She's that close. She doesn't play golf. If she played golf, she'd be there. I remember one time I talked her into going along with, well, twice I've talked her along, into going along with me while I played golf. One time was a golf course a little south of here, and she was driving, and I was hitting the ball, and so I got out, I'd hit my drive, and I'm in the fairway, and I get out, and I'm going to hit my next shot to the green. And I get out, and she spotted mangoes on the side. And so I played the rest of that hole, include getting out of the bunker and the putting with my 5-iron. So, but then she came back and got me. The second and last time that she went with me, we went out to Heron Bay. It was an afternoon, and I went out to Heron Bay to play. And I was there by myself. She was going to drive, and there was like a foursome getting ready to go on. I didn't want to get caught behind the four people playing because it was going to slow everything down. And I promised her we wouldn't be that long. So I get up there, and they let us go ahead of us. So all these people are watching. And I hit my driver, and man, I just killed the ball down the middle of the fairway. I got in the car, and I said, I killed it. I crushed it. That's a PGA Tour hit right there. I says, she goes, which direction? I went, down the fairway. So she started driving, and we're driving, and I'm paying attention. All of a sudden, I'm going, whoa, wait, stop. I said, my ball, she goes, why? I said, my ball's right here. She goes, already? I said, well, I didn't hit it into the next zip code, honey. You see, it's not those things. Her base, her beauty and her worth is not based on what the world looks at. It's not on her outward calm. My wife has that outward calm, but like a duck on a lake, those feet are just paddling away underneath. It's not in the beauty of her face, so I thank the Lord for that. No, my friends, the real value of my wife, of any wife, is her godly virtue. Ladies, possess godly virtue. Go down to verse 30, everyone, quickly. If you're there, please say amen. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Praise a woman that values the Lord. Many men have fallen in love with a pretty face and discovered something ugly in the heart. Marry the virtuous woman. Virtue, young ladies that are listening in today, means moral, godly strength. You see, too many times there are men that go and grab Bible, they cherry pick Bible verses, and they use that to bludgeon their wives with. It says, wives are to submit to their husband. How many of us have ever heard that hammer pulled out and wielded? I hope you didn't pull it out yourself, guys. You see, well, that verse does say that over in the book of Ephesians. But men conveniently forget what follows. And what follows is, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And how much did Christ love the church? I simply point to the cross. He was willing to die for the church. And if your wife knows, guys, listen to me, men, whether you're sitting here or watching on the internet, if your wife knows that she is first in your life, that you will do anything for her, that you have got her back, that you would die for her willingly. If she knows that, if she knows that you exalt her and praise her and lift her up because she's a godly, virtuous woman, and simply because she is who she is, if your wife knows that, submission is never an issue because you're in harmony together. You go together before the Lord. And you know that your husband is giving wise counsel because he honors you and he honors the Lord. Amen? So those are really good things. In the husband, if you look at verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her. The husband will trust the wife because he knows he can trust her with everything. The virtuous woman can be trusted with everything. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. That means she has his back. She has his back. That means she will do him good in all ways, and she will do him good always. Did you get that? She will do him good in all ways, and she will do him good always. And lift him up. Her great worth is bound in her moral strength. Next, we see her great works. her great works, reading from verses 13 and 14. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. All right, I'm going to make an announcement here. This may be a shock. Ladies wear a lot of hats, especially moms. They're chauffeur, they're maid, they're a cook, they're a referee, they're philosophers, they're the rescue team, they're the hostess, they're the doctor, they're the tutor, they're the psychiatrist. I could go on and on and on. Amen, ladies?
Amen.
And that's with her husband. That's not including the kids. Put them together and they define the virtuous woman. They define mom. It's a lot of work and it's all worth it. It's a lot of work and it's all worth it if the Lord Jesus Christ is in it. Christ is to be the center of our churches. Christ is to be the center of our lives. Christ is to be the center of our home. Amen? Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and husbands, ladies and men and young men and old, young ladies and old ladies, Christ must be the center of your home. If He is the center of everything that you do, you will be a person of great worth and great works. You see, Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Graham, once wrote, or didn't once, she wrote it over her kitchen sink and it remained there to this day. Over her kitchen sink were these words: divine services held here three times a day. What was she thinking about? She was thinking about worshiping the Lord when she was washing dishes. How can you do that? Well, you can do that if Christ is in it. And if you don't think that's not an important thing, have you ever gotten a plate that was still dirty? Who wants to eat out of that? Amen? I know in my home, that's not happening. Now, I say this, and I'm going to rattle my son-in-law here today, because he committed a cardinal sin recently. My daughter had come down Thursday to help my wife make the scones for yesterday. How many of you guys enjoyed the scones? Hallelujah, huh? So he got up, made his coffee, and he took the spoon, and he stirred the coffee and the tea. You know, he stirred the sugar and cream and all that, and he left the spoon there. And he didn't put it away, didn't wash it, didn't do anything with it. And that night he came home and decided to have some soup. Oh, well, there's a spoon right there. See, guys can do that, amen? That's still not the cardinal sin. He shared that with his wife. That was a cardinal sin. You see, we can't do that, amen? Listen, a wife, the virtuous woman, worships the Lord in the work of her hands. I know that when my wife does something, it's because she just does it for the Lord. Verse 14 means that she's a wise shopper. And she's a nutritionist. She goes extra miles to get the best quality as well as a great bargain. I'm going to say that again. She goes the extra mile to get the best quality as well as a great bargain. If I go to the store, I don't care if while I'm there, oh, I need to pick up milk, if that milk is 17 cents more. Apparently, this is an issue. Speaking from experience, my wife will find the best deal. And it'll be quality stuff. So we saw her great works. We saw the great works. Now we see her godly worship. Her godly worship. Look at verse 15. If you're there, you say amen. Amen. By the way, I'm talking about the ideal woman, not Miss Ruth Ann. She also, boy, got quiet in here all of a sudden. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. You know, I used to wonder about this verse until I went into it and looked at the original languages and language and really broke it down. The actual idea is this, ladies. The virtuous woman gets up early to have her quiet time with the Lord. No kids crawling up their legs. No husband wondering where his other shirt is. Nobody running around the house interrupting her. She gets up to have her quiet time with the Lord. After she's done that, and she's been before the presence of the Almighty, She can provide actual food as well as spiritual food for her family. Amen? Isn't that good stuff? Verse 30, if you were to look down there, says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. Verse 30 says, she is the one who fears the Lord. And my friends, the fear of the Lord begins with prayer before the Lord. Enter His presence with thanksgiving. Enter His presence with praise. But enter the presence of the Lord in fear and trembling. Because He is a holy God. He is a mighty God. And He deserves our worship. Amen? And He deserves the best part of your day. Friends, this godly woman that we see here, this godly worship, is the woman who's getting up early to have her quiet time with the Lord. Point number four, we now see her genuine wisdom. Her genuine wisdom, verses 16 through 18, reading from the Word of God. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She makes wise business investments that are not at the expense of the home. Now, it's going to get quiet here in just a moment, but I want you to pay close attention to everything I say as I go through this. Her business investments, her time in the business world are not at the expense of the home. They are an extension of the home. And if your home begins with time before the Lord, then the godly, virtuous woman will be a blessing to society because she brings her praise and glory to the Lord into society. In modern America, I totally get it, especially in South Florida, that most families have parents that both work. Here's my question. This is something only you can answer. This is not for me, but this is something as a talking point, as a consideration point for you. Is there true value in that for your family? Now, ladies, let me finish this point. This is not about keeping a woman at home. It's not that at all. But I would like to say that the home, in general, and the children are almost always better off if mom is around to steady the ship. It's just the way it is. The question we should ask is, if mom has to go to work, is the home better off? And I don't mean just financially. Is the home better off? Does the job enhance the family, or does the job take away from the family? Does it give her an independent spirit, or does it make her in competition with her husband? Does it cause you to have two bank accounts? My wife and I have never had that. She gives me just enough money for what I need. I told her from the beginning, I'm not one of those people that cares about financial issues. I really am not. That's why I have the elders, and I have Brother Jim Smith to take care of those things in the church. And my wife handles a lot of that stuff at home. But friends, if you have an independent spirit, if you are in competition with your husband, if your job does those things, then it is contrary to the Word of God how you're living. It simply is. I'm not going to go into this much further. So everybody listening, save your emails, save your texts. But I will say this. My wife and I have spoken about this. And if we could do it all over again in our family, I'm going to stress that. If we could do it all over again in our family, Miss Ruth Ann would have remained home with the children throughout high school. And I would have worked whatever job and whatever hours was needed. That's the way we would have done it. Now, having had model children like we had, chuckle here, you know that every family has those issues. Amen? Now, my son, I don't know if you've ever met my son, but he's a little shorter than me, but he's got this big, deep, booming voice. He's strong. He's burly. He's got strong. He works with his hands, so his hands are really strong. He's the epitome of what you would think of when you look at a biker. My daughter growing up, she was cotton hair blonde back then. Beautiful, beautiful, sweet little blonde haired girl. Every gray hair we have is from her. She was not a bad child. Don't get the wrong impression. She was just strong-willed. If you look at her, look at the one sitting next to her. They're stamped out of the same cloth. When Bob was... Now she runs off. Now, her husband, he asked if I had any suggestions when he was dating her. I said, yes, take that one out on a date too. You'll know what you're getting. Amen? All right, guys. Continuing. Look at verse 17. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. In other words, she has physical wisdom. She has physical virtue as well. She knows how to take care of her body. And once again, ladies, hold your emails. I'm not talking about your physical appearance. I'm talking about being as physically healthy and strengthened as possible. You got that? Be as physically healthy as you possibly can. How do you do that? Take your annual physicals, ladies. It's that simple. It's fundamental. My wife is religious in her nature with that. It's how things got caught. It's how her cancer was caught early. And we were able to beat that as a team. Your annual physical is fundamental to the Word of God. Verse 18 shows she knows economics. She studies. She's able to stretch a dollar. She has genuine wisdom. Point number 5. We see now her generous welfare. If you're there, say amen. Point number 5, her generous welfare, verses 19 and 20. She stretches out her hand to the distaff and her hand holds a spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Read that closely, ladies. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. The wise woman has learned some real skills. You know, we've already seen that she's a nutritionist, a shopper. She knows economics and investments. But she can also work with and make things with her hands. I'm going to say that again. She can also work with and make things with her hands. Ladies, was the room beautiful yesterday?
Yes.
Did you notice the big puffballs that were hanging above the table? Amen, huh? Well, my wife made those big puffballs at home. And you may say, well, they're pretty. What's the big deal, Pastor Larry? She made them over a week ago. And they were hanging in my dining room. And in my kitchen, 8 of these big puffballs in my house. And I could only go by there and smile in my heart because she wanted things to be great. And I'm going, wow, that's pretty skillful what she made there. And she did it wisely because she only did it with some little pieces of paper. Amen? So, and it also says here, look at verse 20 there. She reaches out to people in need. In other words, she has a generous heart. Guys, we should have generous hearts. God is so generous to all of us. We don't need to be just a receiver of generosity. We need to be a pipeline, amen, so that God's generosity comes down to us and flows straight through the pipeline of our heart and goes out to the world. We need to be as generous to other people as the Lord is to us. Do we think for a second about the air? Do we ask the Lord for air every need? We simply need it, right? He provides it. Friends, what's my point on this? If you see someone in need, reach out to them and help them. Don't wait to be asked. Help the needy. Point number 6, we talk about her grand wardrobe. Her grand wardrobe, verse 21-22. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen, and purple. Back then, wool was about the only thing that could be tied with the color scarlet or purple. This is a woman that dressed her family warmly. In other words, her family is well taken care of. I know that my wife would put things off for herself for many, many years at times to make sure our children had what they needed to wear. But verse 22... And I'm about to walk all over you guys. If you're watching on the internet, men, I'm about to walk all over you. Verse 22, she's also taking care of herself. In other words, she is fashion conscious. That's right. You ladies looked amazing yesterday and today. But you looked amazing. Okay? The virtuous woman is fashion conscious. In other words, it means that she looks great when she steps out of the house. Oh my, I love how my wife looks. When we go anywhere. And I'm all wrapped up in that. And I don't always catch everything. I remember recently we went out somewhere and we came back home and she was standing in the hallway and she came and she looked at me and she says, "How could you let me leave this house with a white flip-flop and a black one?" And we had been all over Coral Springs. Here's the problem. It wasn't that I didn't notice. It was that I thought it was some kind of fashion thing. Apparently it was not. Amen? Listen. Listen closely, church. Men, husbands, listen closely. Ladies, the Bible never says just because you are saved that you have to look like a peasant. The Bible never says that. You are to clothe yourself in righteousness. You are to clothe yourself in the goodness of the Lord. Husbands, listen to me. Don't be a stick in the mud. Buy your wives some nice stuff. Buy it. And all the ladies said,
yeah.
Or do like I do. Do like I do with my virtuous woman. I let her buy her pretty things. Yeah. Honey, buy yourself something nice. And we've been married so long, she just does it now. See, listen, guys. When the woman dress knock out gorgeous, as long as it's done in a modest manner, they're being biblical. They are being biblical. I'm going to say it one more time. They are being biblical. Point number 7. We see her gifted womanhood. Verses 23 to 27, I'll read through quickly. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Notice her relationship to her husband. She is a helpmate. She is a completer of her husband. She is an enhancer of her husband. She takes care of her husband. She lifts him up so he is presented before the assembly in a worthy manner. Now, I wore my pink shirt, my pink tie this morning for the ladies. You like that tie, ladies?
Yeah.
All right. And I picked out my tie. Just want you guys to know, I picked out this tie. Unfortunately, I also picked out a slightly light orange shirt to go with it. Apparently, that's not a good thing. I see across the board here. I can tell you right now, I was sent immediately back to my closet. She goes, "Those ladies know me, and they know I would let you out of the house with that. And that is not going to happen." And the scripture here says, her husband is known in the gates. In other words, in modern day terms, her husband is known in important places. Her husband's name is known at City Hall. He's an important citizen. He's a well-known citizen. But watch closely, folks. This is so good. Because verse 23, God... Oh, this is so good. Look at verse 23. Are you there? God is praising the wife, not the husband, for how he is in the community. There is a clear indication here that her husband is what he is because she is what she is. Her husband is well known in the community because of who she is as the virtuous woman. Her husband is known and respected because of her, and he knows that. And he thanks God for that. And I can say without any equivocation, listen to me, men. I can say without stuttering, stammering, and realizing that God above is listening to every syllable that comes out of my mouth as I'm standing here at His pulpit. I can say right now, I know very well that I am what I am today, not because of what God, not only because of what God has done, but because of the prayer life of my wife and because of what my wife has done in my life. That's the virtuous woman. I had many private conversations with Brother Francis Savage before he went to be with the Lord. He adored his wife. He adored her. He praised her. He lifted her up. The virtuous woman, friends, is so important. Listen, when I have been at my very worst, my wife has been at her very best. I remember one time I was discouraged and I was down and I just felt beat down. This is many years ago. And my wife says, "Honey, you can do this. I believe in you." Do you know what that does to a man's heart when his wife says, "I believe in you"? When the virtuous woman tells her son, when the virtuous woman tells a friend, "I believe in you. You can do this. I'm praying for you. I lift you up." You say, I've heard it said, behind every good man, there's a good woman. And a surprise mother-in-law. So ladies, listen up. This is important. Ladies, listen up. Let me see your eyes up here. A woman is to a man what a wind is to a fire. She can fan the flames higher or she can blow it out. Fan those flames in his heart, ladies. Pray for him. Lift him up. Tell him you believe in him. Rise early to be before the Lord in your prayer life. You see, verse 25 says that when this woman walks into the room, you are aware of her presence. You're aware of her. She has a calm, gentle, godly spirit. Listen, our regular church attenders here that I see week by week, I know you ladies. And I've seen you over the years in many different circumstances. And I see your calm, gentle, godly spirit before the Lord. And I thank God for the ladies in this church. I thank God for you. And all the men said, Amen. Oh no, that was too slow, guys. Let's try that again. Just making sure you guys didn't doze off at me. And all the men said, Amen. Amen. Verse 26. Quick question. Why is it that she can speak in dignity and poise and grace and kindness? I'm going to ask again. Why is it that she can speak in dignity and poise and grace and kindness? Because she's already been up and had her quiet time with the Lord. Grace and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Can that be said of you? Very famous passage from the 23rd Psalm. Ladies, when you pass by your husband, when you pass by the world, does grace and mercy follow you all the days of your life? When you move on, does someone say, "What a blessing"? Or when you move on, does someone say, "What a blessing"? Amen? All right. Now our final point. Has it been good, guys? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give some praise to God for that. Amen. We come to our final point. Not only her great worth, not only her great works, worship, wisdom, welfare, wardrobe, and womanhood. Now we see her glowing witness. Her glowing witness. Look at verses 28 through 31 in your Bibles. If you're there, please say amen. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Her works are the Lord's works. That's why she is to be praised in the community. Is there any better reward than a woman that's a virtuous woman extolling the Lord? Is there any better glowing witness than the witness a woman is to her children and her family? Is any reward better, moms, since this happens to be Mother's Day, is there any reward that is better than a child that says, Mama, you are a blessing. You are a blessing, Mom. And what about a husband that is blessed and honored by his wife? He praises her before the Lord. He praises her before the church. He praises her before the community, no matter how much it embarrasses her. Because she is a blessing before the Lord. Men, talking to married folks for just a moment. If God has given you a good wife, her price is far above rubies. Her price is far above anything that you have. You need to give her the paycheck of praise and admiration before the Lord. You need to tell her over and over and over and over again what she means to you. And you can never tell her enough how much you love her. You can never tell her too often how much you praise God for her. You can never tell her too often how much you thank God for her. You need to take care of your wife. She's a blessing. You know, there's a song by the American country singer George Strait called Baby, Your Baby. See, I like to do that. I like to baby my baby. I know I'm being embarrassing, honey. There's a little play on words. There's a little play on words here. But one verse in this song goes, you've got to show her you love her morning and night. Be there for her. Make things right. Make her believe until there ain't a doubt in her mind. You see, you tell your wife you love her, you do things for her, you lift her before the community. You do that till there is no doubt in her mind how you think about your wife. The idea that you can tell her once you loved her when you got married and that's good for the rest of your life is simply not biblical. You see, the godly woman is a witness to Christ as well. It's fine to be a witness to the community. It's fine to be a witness to your family. But you must be a witness to Jesus Christ as Lord. You must be. Let's cap this off real quick. Verse 31. Give her the fruit of her hands. I could talk and preach on this all day. It's a blessing to me, but I'm not sure you would possess the giftedness to listen to me all day. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. The world needs more virtuous women. Amen? Amen? Today's reading has taught us about the ideal woman. Whether a mother or a wife or not, it's about the ideal, virtuous, moral, godly woman. But friends, these basic values apply to us all, men and women alike, young and old alike, male and female alike. I am so grateful for our ladies at Living Hope Church. You are a blessing to your families. You are a blessing to your church. You are a blessing to your community. And you are a blessing to your pastor. You are. I get a heart rush when I think of the ladies in our church. I love it. Our prayer team is 95% the ladies of our church. And I go in there and to hear them pray and lift me up before the Lord just blesses my heart. I get a God heart rush when I go in there. But let's share something with the world, shall we? To everyone listening to this message, you cannot be a good son, you cannot be a good daughter. You cannot be a good father, you cannot be a good mother. You cannot be a good man, you cannot be a good woman without the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. You simply cannot. You must be born again. And all that takes is a little bit of faith. John 14:6. See, people wonder, why is Jesus the only way? John 14:6 reads, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Why do we accept Jesus Christ as Lord? It's because the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news that God in heaven loved us so much that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to earth to die on the cross for our sins, that to stay in the grave 3 days, and at the end of those 3 days to raise again, defeating death in the grave once and for all. And because of that, we can trust God has a plan for us. We can have the faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, For by grace you have been saved by faith through grace. And that not of yourself, is it a gift of God that gives it to you. You see, with the faith that we have to receive Jesus Christ the Lord, even that faith comes from God. And so today, before I come down here and we begin the invitation period, I want you to know this. If you are not a born-again believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you came into this sanctuary that way this morning, if you're watching on the internet and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, we're not trying to trick you. We're not trying to get you into something through a twisting of words. We're not those mean old Christians that are beating you over the head with a Bible. We simply don't want to get to heaven without you. But you need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the everlasting God who alone in heaven is good, be grace and peace in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.